In Tara Hunt's book, The Wuffy Factor, the author describes how to be a social capitalist and how it's important for businesses to catch the Web 2.0 wave, that is, the world of mass collaboration and social networking using blogs, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and other social networking tools. That is, this chaos must be embraced. The first rule is to turn conventional wisdom on its head. Rich individuals and big companies still have lots of influence in advertising dollars, but we're talking about an emerging world where the rules for success are different, and this requires thinking differently. Businesses have to be more hands-on, grassroots, and interactive to maintain a continuous flow of information to and from customers. A customer base can be grown at little or no cost using Wuffy through social networks. If a company tries to buy its way into social networks, its social capital actually starts to diminish. Without genuine social capital, connections in online communities are lost. Money still carries clout, and you can still buy your way in front of large audiences, but this doesn't guarantee influence. Relationships and connections over time lead to trust, which is the key to capital formation. The capital not being money, but social capital, also known as Wuffy. A social capitalist is as ravenous as Bill Gates for success, but the currency of the realm is different. In short, a social capitalist is one who builds and nurtures a community. Once Wuffy, or social capital, is in the bank, monetary capital will follow. It used to be the other way around, but in the Web 2.0 world, the rules for success have changed. The author describes in detail how Wuffy can build your business. In a Web 2.0 world, there are three ways to build a business and make money online: porn, luck, and Wuffy. We owe porn a debt of gratitude for the adoption of many current online technologies. The online porn industry pushed the adoption of much of the technology we know and use today, such as streaming audio and video, geolocation software, and interactive type content like cookies. Luck is rarely consistent. Being in the right place at the right time may work for a few people, but it's not a talent per se. So in the end, Wuffy is the only predictable way to build a business and make money online. So what is Wuffy anyway? The term Wuffy was coined by Cory Doctorow, creator of the blog Boing Boing, to describe social capital in his sci-fi novel Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. In the future, Wuffy is the only currency used. Wuffy is the currency of your reputation. You lose or gain it based on positive or negative actions, your contributions to the community, and what people think of you. In his novel, if you need a hotel room or a fare ride on a bus, you pay with your Wuffy, which is stored in your person. And anyone can ping your internal computer to figure out how Wuffy rich or poor you are. According to Doctorow, you can build Wuffy in three ways: by being nice, being networked, or being notable. Tara Hunt agrees that having lots of social capital will put you ahead of the competition if you have good connections and that can recommend you for a position, being networked. If you have a list of public accolades on the work you've done, being notable, or if your references have glowing reviews of your ability to lead a team and your likability, being nice. Having social capital can give you access to better positions with better pay. There's a great deal of competition in the marketplace. Having lots of social capital will make you stand out. If you've connected with your customers, they'll spread the word to their network, and people will talk about your product because it is notable. Or if you have a record of having the best customer service, customers may come to you because they know they'll be treated better.
Thank you, come again.
Having high social capital will help you as a business person win more customers and sell more product. Social capital is neither fictional nor futuristic. In every online community, Wuffy is the core component of connection. Financial transactions are part of the market economy, whereas Wuffy is part of the gift economy. In a gift economy, the more you give away, the more Wuffy you gain, which is completely opposite in the market economy. Wuffy increases in value as it circulates through a community. If I use my Wuffy to help you raise yours, there is a net increase in Wuffy for both of us. Market capital and social capital are converging more than many recognize. So here and now, there are clear advantages to raising Wuffy. As you build WAFI, you build relationships with your customers that yield long-term loyalty. And the more WAFI you have, the more people will talk about you in a positive light. The positive word of mouth carried through networks is the core advantage of involving yourself in online communities. WAFI is low-cost, high-impact strategy, whereas advertising can be expensive. And although it is difficult to track the impact of, say, a billboard, the impact of your involvement in online communities is almost immediate. Online tools that connect communities, like blogs and wikis, have ways to collect feedback from community members. And the most immediate reason why raising WAFI is essential for your business is that your competition is either doing it or thinking about doing it. As online communities become a stronger and stronger source of consumer information, your sales will be driven by how well you are received in those communities. Actually, Tara Hunt's book is built on WAFI. Tara Hunt began blogging her theories on social networks and used them for community marketing in 2004 on horsepigcow.com. More and more people read, commented, and connected with Tara through her blog until she had a huge audience. After a year, she was hired by Raya.com, a startup company in which she was allowed to test her ideas. Raya was a photo searching site that used artificial intelligence to search inside photos for faces. And with Tara's community marketing strategies, within a day of the launch of the site, 20,000 people had signed up and had uploaded more than 1 million photos to be searched. Her successful marketing resulted in numerous public speaking engagements, and she continued to blog and share photos, ideas, research, gaffes, and successes online. Her audience grew so much, she launched her own firm in 2006. She was approached by one of her blog readers who just happened to be a literary agent who proposed that she write a book. So she did. When Tara's publisher sent her a draft of the book cover design, she didn't like it, so she posted the image to Flickr and tweeted to her 5,000 followers about it. She received overwhelming feedback on how to improve it, along with her cover ideas and a whole bunch of redesigned covers. In the end, Tara chose a design. So the cover of this book was also designed by WAFI itself. Tara Hunt talks about teaching an old big dog new tricks, which is a section that reads more like a cautionary tale. The phenomenon spawned by internet of selling less of more, niche markets increase, is a concept that Chris Anderson, editor of Wired magazine, calls the long tail. As with other industries, people are buying more music than ever. But because of the ability to discover new artists, as well as the ability for more artists to emerge through online channels, people have more choices, and they're making them. The music recording business is a global industry with a few big companies as dominant players. It's not news that CD sales continue to plummet, while digital music sales are doing well and growing each year. But since CDs have constituted 80% of the revenue of the recording industry, digital music sales aren't making up the difference. In 2006, the world's fourth biggest music company invited some teens into its London headquarters to talk about their listening habits. And at the end of the session, EMI bosses told them to help themselves to a pile of free CDs. But none of the teens took any. That's when EMI realized the game was up. The music recording industry struggles on how to respond to consumers interacting with their online music. Their approach has been reactionary and hostile, suing their own customers, adding levies on MP3 players, and basically hemorrhaging WAFI by bullying music lovers. Years of this has left a wake of anti-music industry sentiment among consumers. Many people are more than happy to contribute to that decline, supporting independents using file-sharing networks, and opening up their music collections for others to download. And they are inclined to blog negatively and spread anti-music label rhetoric in online forums. And I hate everything about you. An example of this industry versus listener battle played out in Canada in 2007, when the Canadian government was urged by the U.S. government to propose legislation to prevent the sharing of music between friends by embedding digital rights into audio files. A Canadian professor started a Facebook group that protested this legislation as they viewed it as a sellout to the U.S. government and lobbyist demands. The Facebook group attracted 40,000 members in 2 weeks, and local chapters of Fair Copyright for Canada sprung up to pressure government reps to revisit this legislation. The war between the music industry and listeners does not have to go on. Tools like Facebook and file sharing could help music labels create demand and new sources of revenue. They could be using Facebook to connect with music fans, enable musicians to engage in conversations, find out where fans live so they can bring music to them, use groups to have discussions about digital rights management and get feedback on what could work better for both the labels and the fans. They could also create label-sponsored pages so that fans can share new musicians with their friends. It's not impossible. Even individuals can use WAFI to further their music successfully by creating demand. Brian Deere launched Eventful Demand in 2004 to help people discover events and is a service that allows fans to create demand for their favorite artists instead of passively waiting for the artist. When enough demands are made online for a certain location, the artist actually comes to the fans. One of the artists who uses Eventful is former software developer Jonathan Colton. By opening up to let his audience decide when and where he tours. After Jonathan used Eventful for just a couple of weeks, he had over 1,500 demands from all over the world. He's a great example of the mixture of reputation and influence not only that he has over his audience, but that his audience has over him. When artists like him use tools like Eventful Demand and end up playing in places they wouldn't have thought of playing, he and the fans both feel a strong sense of ownership in the exchange. Unlike the music industry, Jonathan encourages people to record him and take photos of him at concerts, which leads to videos being posted on YouTube, driving millions to his website. He gives away his music for free and actually encourages its reuse, which also drives traffic to his website. He makes money by selling merchandise and collects donations through selling virtual gifts in the form of cartoon images that, when bought, show up on his website with the donor's name attached. He was able to quit his day job in order to pursue his music because of such tools as Eventful, YouTube, WordPress, and iTunes. Jonathan says, "Security is your greatest enemy. You need to be as frictionless as possible." Meaning, when you remove all control and make it easy for people to take it and use it in various ways, this encourages WAFI. So if one musician without a staff can build a worldwide audience by engaging people online, a company with a team of people can do that on a larger scale. If the recording industry would open up and use social media tools to be proactive with their customers, they could redesign the music experience to fit the needs of consumers. But the industry has to genuinely become part of the community and benefit from interaction to build the WAFI they badly need. Small business owners can also benefit from social networking. One idea that turned into a movement when online community tools were applied, was started by Brad Newberg. Bored with working alone in his home office, wanting some social interaction and dissatisfied with the coffee shop scene, he rented space and advertised to other independent workers to come by and pay $15 to have a collaborative work experience he called co-working. Surprisingly, dozens of people showed up to partake in this shared space concept. Photos of co-working in action were tagged on Flickr, and Brad and his new co-workers fired up a wiki and started a Google group. And the idea of these micro-communities turned national, growing to 1,600 members in a short time. The co-working movement has been featured in dozens of major publications, including New York Times, Business Week, and Wired Magazine. By tapping into the power of online networks, co-working has helped people like Brad gain knowledge, make new contacts, and grow his WAFI. The author of this book stresses that trust builds WAFI, and she uses another personal example. Business to the hair salon she goes to has doubled because she not only tweets that she is visiting the salon, but she engages the online community by posting questions on how she should wear her hair. She has posted hairstyle ideas on Flickr, pointing to them through tweets, and then collects people's votes. She has posted photos of her haircuts in progress as well as the final result. These images are as good as word-of-mouth recommendations for the salon. In this way, Tara has built her WAFI as well as the salon's WAFI. This is just one example of the potential that social networking tools can offer small businesses. Local businesses could improve interactions with their local neighborhood by being online. They could do such things as putting up a wiki and encouraging their customers to submit requests for carrying specific items. They could post photos, tweet, or blog about upcoming store events as well. But social networks can also be used in altruistic ways. Nonprofit and online social technologies go hand in hand, as many nonprofits have limited resources, so their campaigns are absolutely dependent on word of mouth. Whether well-funded or cash-strapped, all organizations benefit from building WAFI through interacting in online communities. Beth Cantor, a social media consultant and fundraiser for Cambodian Orphans, has successfully raised a great deal of money and awareness through her interaction in online communities. She has emailed, messaged, poked, tweeted, blogged, Flickered, YouTubed, and slideshared her way into mobilizing a huge number of supporters for her cause, sending Cambodian orphans to school. Beth's success comes from her ability to build WAFI through the various online networks.